Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come into your house. And then, Lord, being reminded again, we're two or three gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we ask for the blessing of your Spirit to guide us to hear from you tonight. Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and highly exalted in our hearts and our minds and in our lives. And Lord, that the world might see that there is a God in heaven and that he lives his life in and through his believers, his people, as a royal priesthood. We thank you for that. Lord, may you give us understanding and wisdom on how you want to accomplish that. May we be yielded to your service, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Committed unto God as unto a faithful Creator." For the believer, committed unto God. We don't expect the world to do that, but God's people, we want to be committed unto God as unto a faithful Creator. He is a faithful Creator, and we thank the Lord for his faithfulness. But here's a question. What does it mean to be committed to God? What does it mean to be committed to God? Now, we can gather our opinions, but the best definition of what it means comes from the Word of God. And so it's important that we say, "Lord, you tell us what it means to be committed unto you. Show us what that commitment is." I've got my ideas, but I've learned something in the some odd 30 years that I've been saved, and that is that my thoughts aren't God's thoughts. A lot of times I get these wonderful, grandiose ideas and come to find out God says, not right now. That's not what I want to do. I've got plans, and I've already, in eternity past, I have it all laid out. Amen. From eternity past, God has seen everything that's going to happen, even in our own lives, and he has purpose. I don't understand this, but he has purpose to glorify himself in and through our lives. So it would do us well to say, "Lord, okay, explain to me, how is it that you want to live your life in through my life?" And so notice what it says here. We want to just look at three thoughts tonight. And the first thing is, in order to be committed to God as unto a faithful Creator, we need to be armed with the same mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being armed with the same mind of Christ. And then the second thing God tells us is, if we're going to be committed unto God as unto a faithful Creator, is that we are to live according to God in the Spirit. I'm not making this up. You're going to see this in the Bible, that we are to live according to God, his direction, and it says in the Spirit. And then the last thing, we can't forget this, and this is kind of where a lot of the people depart, are the fiery trials. What are the fiery trials for? What are they trying to do in our lives? And there are fiery trials. In case you didn't know, and I would dare say you've probably experienced different trials if you've been saved for any length of time. But let's back up to verse 1. And let's look at what it means here to be armed with the same mind of Christ. And this is a change that God must bring us into our lives. And so notice verse 1. He says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." So right there we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a hard concept here. He did not come, he was the God-man, but he came as a man. In other words, he had to empty himself, if you will, of his authority. He submitted himself under the Father's authority, but he did not come as God, or it would have counted. See, when Adam fell, he fell as a man, so God came to redeem mankind as a man in same kind, right? He came to show us really how it's done and how it should be done. And so the Lord Jesus Christ submitted himself. He didn't come in his royalty, or we would have all fallen down. Everybody, all the lost would have just bowed down like they will one day when we see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I don't think, this is conjecture on my part, I want to tell you. I don't think they're going to do it because they have to. I think they're going to do it because they're going to see Jesus Christ as God. And when you're in the presence of God, do you remember when the angel appeared unto John the Revelator and he fell down to worship him, and the angel said, "Oh, no, that's for God." And that was because the Shekinah glory was on. The glory of God was on this angel. Imagine standing in the pure holiness of God. I don't think mankind can do anything but confess who Jesus is. We will see him like never before, and we will be in the presence of God like never before. And it's almost, I want to say, the natural response is what that's going to be, right? It's just going to be the response because we will understand who God is. Now, they may do it reluctantly, but I think for sure all of God's people are going to do it willingly and gladly. And so we thank the Lord for that. But here it is, ready? He emptied himself of that glory. He submitted himself. So the same mind of Christ is this. He came as a servant. Listen, you and I, our nature is not to be a servant. That's not our nature. Our nature is, how dare anybody do anything I don't like to me? Because if we ever say this, well, I just gave them a piece of my mind. Well, that's not what God wants us to do. And I'll tell you, I'll confess, I've given people a piece of my mind before, okay? So we're not saying, so that's not the mind of Christ. That's our mind. That's the way our thinking. But what did Jesus do? He submitted himself to false accusations and allegations that were made and railed against him. And at the end of, what did he say? Father, forgive them. See, this is the same mind of Christ. So, because they don't know what they do. And so, if we have the mind of Christ, the reason why people do unkind things is because they don't know what they're doing. They're led by the flesh, they're led by themselves, and they don't know that this life, they really don't. They say this, well, everybody's going to die someday, and that's true, but everybody's going to stand before God. And so how will we stand if we're not walking in the Spirit of Christ, and if we're not allowing the Lord to give us the understanding that we are his servants, that we've been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they railed against him and gave false accusations, he says, you're in good company. He says, God will honor that, and God will, when you submit to him, and when you don't fly against that, as the Lord didn't fly against that, God says he will bless you and you will grow. And the only way that you can do that is to be yielded to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I know I won't do that by myself. So if you're ever able to stand, I think the Lord will let you know he did it for you. He did it through you. And that in turn gives us an occasion to praise the Lord. I know that I can do no good thing. So if I do a good thing, the Lord is doing it through me. May we walk humbly with the Lord and say, oh, I know exactly what to say to this person. No, I don't know what to say. I don't know what people are thinking. I don't know how they're feeling. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know any of that, but my God does. And if we will be yielded to the Lord, we will meet them where God wants to meet them, because it'll be the mind of Christ in us. He's indwelt us with the Spirit for that purpose. So listen to that again. Verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Be yielded as the Lord was yielded. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So allow yourself to be done wrong. Peter later on, and by the way, this is Peter. Remember Peter? Remember Malchus's ear? I don't think he was aiming for his ear. I think he was aiming for his head. Amen? And praise the Lord that the Lord was able to repair that. that surgery that Peter did that was not blessed by the Lord. It was not what God wanted. But that's us in the natural realm. Listen, look at Peter. This is God working through him. Of all people, he thought the Lord was done with him. Look what the Lord is doing through the life of Peter and giving us this epistle, this portion of God's word. Peter was yielded, right? Peter was submissive, and Peter now was saying, I've learned something. And it took Peter a while to learn it. So if you're saying, wow, you know what? I'm still on the road to learning. Join the club. We're all still learning. And we need the Lord every day and every moment of every day to walk this way. Look at verse number 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. You can't do that. I can't do that by myself. We need the Lord and his spirit that he's indwelt us with for that to take place. And so we listen, may I tell you something? This is what makes the difference in the life of a believer. It's not what you know. Listen, you can know very little, but if you are, as far as doctrine is concerned, you can know very little, but you can be used mightily of the Lord if you're submissive to the leadership of his spirit. You can know little about the doctrine of God and be used greatly for the honor of God. You can know a lot about the doctrines of God and be used very little for God. And there's a lot of people that are like that. Oh, I know this and I know that. So did the Pharisees. And they rejected the Lord. And I'm not saying doctrine is wrong. And I'm not saying it's wrong to learn the Bible. No, listen, that's where faith comes from. But if there's no working of God, we've missed him. We're just getting head knowledge. And that's going to puff us up. What I know, and you know there's a problem when we're elevating ourselves. You know there's a problem when we're quick to speak and quick to judge, and we're not waiting because we're not saying. Here's what we're saying: I know. So do we need God if we're saying I know? God says, okay. Obviously, you don't need me. Let me know when you do. I don't know how to come and go. I don't know. Listen. I need the Lord, and that honors him. But if we say, I know, what we're saying is, I got it from here, God. I don't need you. I'll see you next week. Oh, listen, you got 6 days of dishonoring the Lord because you got it. And we don't have it. And I've been guilty of doing that. I thought I had it at different times. And what was that? Because of my love for the Lord. Peter thought he had it. Peter thought he had it. The disciples thought he had it. They had it, right? And then they decided this. Lord, the mother of the two disciples there, I'll put my son on one side and the other on the other side. And then, listen, you're not able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink to do this, you know? Oh, we're able. we got it. Well, you are going to drink the cup. But who sits on my right side, on my left side, that's already been designed. Why don't we just be happy with the idea that God has chosen us and redeemed us? Isn't that amazing? Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but our eyes were opened up. Amen? And so he's saying, don't live the rest of your time to the flesh. And by the way, the flesh is not meaning sinful things. But the arm of the flesh, the strength of the flesh, does not bring God any glory. We need the Spirit of God. Look at verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So now all of a sudden, the world sees a change, right? You know what the world does? The world is busy pointing out all the flaws of everybody. That's what the world does. Did you see, and that's hypocrisy because they're neglecting their own frailty in the flesh. And belittles and looks, they look to step on somebody to elevate themselves. And that's not the way of the Lord. And it should not be the way of God's children. We ought to, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And we ought to be examining our own lives personally, because that's the only one you're going to give an account for. You're not going to give an account for anybody else. You're not even going to give an account for your children. You will give an account as how you, where you pointed them, if you pointed them to the Lord or not, but they're going to give an account for their own lives or your grandchildren. That's on them. But we should pray for them, for sure. We should pray for them. So here we find that God wants us to be armed with the same mind. And that same mind, listen, the mind of Christ will change us, as it's pointing out here. In time past, we walked like the Gentiles did. We had the same mind. And by the way, it's not necessarily, remember, there are good sinners and there are bad sinners. There's nothing wrong with working hard. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with all those things. But that's the end goal of a lost person. It's not for the glory of God. Now we do everything, right? All things to the glory of God. And so now that we're not running with them like we used to, verse 4, wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? God's going to do that. So be minded like the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they falsely accuse the Lord? Did they falsely say things about the Lord? Absolutely. But you know what? Listen, the Bible tells us, and even Peter tells us in his epistles, that if we suffer for doing the right thing, that's good. But if we suffer for doing the wrong, we need to take that patiently, and there's no reward in that. But listen, if you are suffering for doing the right thing, that's a good thing. And you will suffer for doing the right thing. The world will not understand you. And God's people may not understand you, because they may be in the flesh. Do you know what is the most important thing in the life of a believer? That God be glorified in your own personal life. God is not glorified if we're tearing down other believers. God is not even glorified if we're tearing down the world, because Christ loved the world and died for it and gave himself for it to redeem them. If we're tearing them down, do you think we are falsely representing the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Bible tells us there that God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Is that not the truth? See, now if you want the authority of God, that's God's message. Well, bless God, and there is a judgment coming, but that's not how God reached you, is it? God reached you. How did he reach you? He wrapped his loving arms around you and let you know that you were lost and undone in your sins, and you ran to the one that you knew loved you. That's how you did it. You didn't come to somebody that you were afraid of. You came to the one that you knew there was nobody else. He was the only one. And you gladly received him, and he gladly took you up. And you experience the free pardon of sin and the mercy of God. And that's how God wants us. Listen, by the love, Jesus said, that you have one for another in the family of God, is how the world's going to know that you belong to him. And what is love all about? Is love judgmental? Is love unkind? No, it's not those things. It's kind. It's gentle. It's long-suffering. And so this is the mind of Christ. And on top of being falsely accused, if people are saying, and it could be that even believers would say something unkind about you, should we lose our leadership of the Spirit at that point? Should we say, okay, Lord, I got it from here. Let me tear them up now. Let me venge myself. No, that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to have the same mind. And by the way, how many times were we way off? Right? Remember Peter? It's easy to pick on Peter. He understands better than anybody, right? And the Lord took him right back. Listen, even before he denied the Lord, when he went to the cross, he was not completely obedient when he told him to launch out into the deep for a great catch of fish. He was very slow, very slow. I'll tell you, I'm slow. But I'm glad God is faithful. He didn't give up on me. And you know what the good news is? He didn't give up on any of us. Amen. You're indwelt with the Spirit. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to let him have his will and his way in your own personal life. We need to get our eyes off of other people and onto the Lord Jesus Christ, and need to be in tune with not what other people are doing, but what God is doing and wanting to do in my life, right? In our own lives is what we ought to be concerned with. That ought to be the focus. Well, Lord, what about him? See, that's the nature, isn't it? That's the nature. And that was Peter after the resurrection. He was still concerned. And the Lord said, what is it to thee if he stays until I come again? You know, you feed my sheep. You do what I've asked you to do. Do you see, there's a battle there in being submissive to the Spirit of God. All right, second thought, live according to God in the Spirit. Look at verse 6. Here's what it says. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Did you see this? Listen, this is the work of God's Spirit that can't be fabricated by the power of the flesh. It can never be. If it's done in the flesh, it's not going to be genuine. It's going to be false. It's not going to glorify the Lord, and it won't last long because the flesh is not strong enough. It's the Spirit that has the strength. All right? So verse 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God. How? What does that verse say? In the Spirit. That's where the life of Christ to be inside the believer, and we need to be dependent upon the Spirit of God. So what does the Spirit of God do? The Spirit of God is long-suffering, it's gentle, it's kind. We need to be mindful of that, and not just, you can't just say, well, I'm in the Spirit of God, bless God, and let me just tell you about my day, and let me just complain about this, and let me complain about that. That's not the Spirit of God. Let me just go ahead and talk about this. Let me go ahead and just spend my money this way, because we are bought with a price. And so everything we have belongs to who? We ought to pray before we do some things, shouldn't we? Lord, how is it that you want me to spend your money? Lord, how is it that you want me to spend your time in my life? What is it that you want me to do? And I promise you, it's not a lot of what we're doing. Especially if it's pulling people down, lost or saved. Either way, that's not God's. Can you agree with that is not the will of God for any believer to tear anybody down? Are you sure? Okay. We need the Lord, don't we? Because I will let you know, my flesh will tear people down. Yeah? Amen? And when you say that, I know what you're saying. My flesh will do it too, right? My flesh will do it too. That's the easy. There's no thought, there's no work, there's nothing in that. That is the natural thing. The supernatural thing is to yield to God and give him the right of way. Come into my life and you lead me. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And you can pray anytime, in the car, anywhere. It's a good thing to pray. Talk to the Lord. That's what prayer is. And I need the Lord, and we need the Lord. We're never going to come. Listen, if I don't have the Lord, I'm failing. I can't do anything for God without him. I will fail. Verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Charity is love, right? Amen. Love. Love builds up. Love is not negative. Love is positive. And by the way, I don't think there'd be anything wrong, and I think God would want the world to see his love in our lives for them. That will win them to the Lord. I want, you know, listen, please, that was nothing of myself. It was such a wonderful thing to that, the $15 that came out of that machine. And this was a young fella. That was important to him. There was no doubt in my mind, right off over here off on range line. Man, his whole face was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe, you know. So he was glad to get that. You know what? I was even gladder to give it to him. with a track. Amen? With a track. Amen. What do you think the world thinks? That's it. You know, listen, may I tell you something? All the registers were full, and I was, excuse me, sir, they heard. They heard. I wonder how many of them may have said this. If that was me, I'd have kept it. And how many of maybe even said this? What is wrong with that man? Let me just tell you what's wrong with me. It's everything that's right. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as a lost man, I could have just said, sir, oh, you left and kept it. But praise God, that's not how I ever want to live. And that's the difference that God ought to make. And by the way, listen, think about this. Money is an exchange typically for part of your life that you spent working to get it. You never get that back. You know, if somebody takes it, that's why I think stealing, that's why God says stealing is so bad, because you're robbing somebody's life. You're stealing from what they worked for, okay? And that was an opportunity for that man to receive something that he could have lost. And so there's value on that. And God helps us to understand the value that people have in his eyes in this world. And so listen, we all have the potential of God doing many wonderful things that we step back. Can I tell you something? Here's what I believe. That was all God. That was all the Lord. He created that whole situation. And I was rejoicing. Amen? I was so thankful. And it just happened as smooth as could be. That's when you know God's in on it. Well, God, the Spirit of God just confirms us, not just because it goes smoothly. It could go quite difficultly, if you will, but God still be in the middle of it. Look at verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. So he's reflecting back, not just on the world, but on how we're to treat one another. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Did you see that? If we are filled with the Spirit, then we are building believers up. We are encouraging them. Again, verse 10, it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God, the word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I didn't say that. Isn't that what we've just been talking about? How much does the believer need the Lord? Desperately, amen? In every way. May we never think, I can just do this. You can, but it won't glorify the Lord. Do you know that you can do things that are good and God will get no glory out of it? Because we did it. Am I making that up, or can you see that? Because this is what the church is missing. What's that? Jesus. Amen. Oh, they got all this, and they can do all things. But where's the Lord? Where's the Lord in all of this? Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange. Now we move into the fiery trial. Okay, now we've got the mind of Christ. Now we understand how the Spirit works inside the believer. Now let's look at the fiery trial. All right, just... And by the way, this is important because God says, I'm using this to refine your life. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. I want you to know, many times I've received a fiery trial just like that. What in the world is going on? Amen? Why is this happening? I've done that. And I can do that still, I want you to know. How am I going to overcome that? I have to have the mind of Christ. I have to think how he's thinking. I have to submit myself and say, you know, Lord, I don't know what's coming the rest of this day. Do you? I don't know what's coming the rest of this day. How am I going to walk through this day? Can do it one of two ways: with my wisdom and understanding and strength, or with God's. Amen. One of two ways is how the believer can do it. Which way are we going to do it? And God says, I want you to choose me, and I want you to not think it's strange when you experience the fiery trial. But verse 13, rejoice. Listen, only God can reveal it in this way. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That is on this side of eternity, but I do want you to know it's also in his presence as well. It works both ways. We will see some things. Martha and Mary went through a trial we saw this morning, didn't we? When Lazarus died. But God was glorified, and they were praising God on that one. But there are some other things that took place, I'm sure, that they didn't get the full fruition of what God was doing until they saw the Lord face to face. And that's okay. Can we trust the Lord in that? Lord, can we? I won't always have the answer, and I won't always see your purpose in everything. But can I trust the Lord? Amen. Is he faithful? Amen. That's what it boils down to. Listen, this is a powerful truth. If we will submit before the Lord, we'll have his peace. You just leave it in the Lord's hands. You will always be a child of the King, and the best is yet to come. And the Bible says, God's Word says, that what you go through on this side, and I'll join you, some things are very, very hard. They're not to be compared to the things that God has for us in glory. That's God's Word. Is that the truth? It is. There are going to be, I don't think we'll say it, I think we'll know it. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, and I was complaining. We will take a look at all of the splendor of God, and we will say, and I was complaining. It takes faith, and it takes God to allow us to rejoice and to rest in his promises. Verse 13, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, plural, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. This is the word of God. This is not mine. This is God's word to us. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Listen. Lost or saved? Was Moses ever railed against? And he didn't defend himself. The Lord spoke up and said, "This is what. Who are you to do this to my servant?" Moses didn't. Now, when he was in Egypt, he may have spoke up, but he had to. He was out on the desert for 40 years to learn how to be humble and to learn to be meek above all men, and allow the Lord to fight his battles. So he says, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Listen, you can glorify by the power and spirit of God. We can glorify the Lord for the fiery trials that we go into, because we will see it with the mind of Christ. But verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, Christ-like, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? They're really out of sorts with the Lord. They're really in a lot of trouble. But may it not be said that they couldn't see Christ in us. May it not be said that we did not have the Spirit of God. Listen, that's what it means to have the Spirit of God. when we are in the hand of God and we have the peace of God to go through those trials and trusting the Lord that He holds us in His hands in those trials and that God keeps our hearts and minds stayed on Him through those trials that the world can see God in us. They won't agree. They won't even like you, but they will respect you. And not maybe even audibly, and not even with kindness, but here's what I mean by that. They will say this for sure. I don't like them. I don't like what they believe. In fact, they could say I hate them, and I hate, but they really do believe what they say they believe. They are not hypocrites. I can see there's something different in them. Because I'm trying to throw all kinds of stuff at them, and it's not sticking. I'm trying to make their way as uncomfortable and as inconvenient as I possibly can. They're looking for our weakness to excuse themselves. That's what they're wanting to do. And you know what? I would go to church if it wasn't for the hypocrites. Well, please don't go to church. You'll ruin it. Because we're none perfect, right? But wait a minute. May that not be said about a child of God. May we not live a hypocritical life. And we cannot do that in our strength. It must be by the power of God. So he says this. He says, judgment begins at the house of the Lord. We are the house of God. Are we ready? It's not too late. Never. Never too late. Today is a great day to be committed to trusting God in everything. And calling upon Him. By the way, listen, that commitment to trust God in everything comes from God. Lord, give me that commitment to You. You know what? You know why when we say that, what we're saying? I can't do it by myself, God. I can't do it without You. In fact, I need all of You to do it. Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, that's the child of God. Listen to what he's saying. Have this mind, have this thought. Commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. The well-doing is by God, not by us. But that we may approach every day with this idea, listen, that when we suffer according to the will of God, God's going to enable us to do the right thing. And I would just tell you this, 9 times out of 10 is to do nothing. Just don't do anything. And God will lead you to do something if He wants you to. But be willing to take it and trust the Lord as a faithful Creator to you. That's the natural tendency when things don't go our way will reveal to us who's on the throne of our life. Listen very carefully. If Christ is on the throne, we'll be okay with it. If Christ is not on the throne, we will complain. Every time we complain, bicker, Christ is not on the. That's not where. That's not what. Christ. Did Christ complain? Was He complaining? No. And He was trying to teach His disciples, and today you and I, how to be led by Him. Have the same mind of. Aren't you glad God said to have His mind? That means you can have it. He wouldn't ask you to have something you couldn't have, would He? And He says, my love I give. Is that what Jesus said? My love I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. Amen. Listen, that means God wants us to have it. And if we don't have it, it's maybe because, well, it could be a lot of things. We're not asking God to give it. We don't believe that God can give it. But whatever it is, know this, God wants us to have it. And whatever the reason is that we don't have it, you have to personally approach God for Him to fix it and tell you why. Because it's different for everybody. There are all different kinds of things that can keep us, but ultimately it's ourself that's keeping us from what God wants us to have. Tell me if I'm wrong in this. God is wanting to be real in your life and mine. Amen. He is wanting to be so real that we worship Him. And the only way that that's going to take place is to call upon the Lord to enable us to be committed unto God as unto a faithful Creator. God invites us to that. May we have the desire to accept the Lord in what He has given to us and to walk in that to the glory of God first. Then God wants to bless us, and that's all simultaneously. It glorifies the Lord, it fills our life, and it overflows into the lives of other believers and into the world. So God says, come. Amen? Not just to the lost, to the saved. Come and let me show you great and mighty things. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, I thank you for your many blessings that you've given to us here at Northwood Baptist Church. May we not take them for granted. May we seek you out in those things, Lord. Bless the invitation. Speak to hearts as only you can, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.